The Supplication on Thursdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who has taken away the shadowy night by His power and brought the sight-giving day through His mercy. He has clothed me in its brightness and given me its favor. O Allah, just as Thou hast spared me for this day, so also spare me for its likes. Bless the Prophet Muhammad and his household, and torment me not in it and in other nights and days by allowing me to commit unlawful acts and to clothe myself in sins. Provide me with its good, the good of all within it, and the good of everything after it, and turn away from me its evil, the evil of all within it, and the evil of everything after it. O Allah, by the protective compact of Islam, I seek mediation with Thee, and by the inviolability of the Quran, I rely upon Thee. By Muhammad, the Chosen, Allah bless him and his household, I seek intercession with Thee. So recognize my protective compact, by which I hope my need will be granted. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, decree for me on Thursday five things, which none embraces but Thy generosity, and none supports but Thy favors. Health through which I may have the strength to obey Thee. Worship by which I may deserve Thy plentiful reward. Plenty in my state through lawful provision. And that Thou makest me secure in the places of fear through Thy security. And placest me in Thy fortress against the striking of worries and sorrows. Bless Muhammad and his household. And make my seeking his mediation as an intercessor give profit on the day of resurrection. Surely, Thou art the most merciful of the merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Merciful. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, especially this program, today's special, Salamun Alaikum, so welcome. Today we're going to speak about the concept of freedom in Islam. I invite you to be with us. La, 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 la. Today, Wednesday, is the 25th of Rabiul Thani, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 10th of Azar, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 1st of December, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is Chapter and Sun, verses 1 to 4.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
هل أتى على الإنسان حين من الدهر لم يكن شيئا مذكورا.
Has there not come upon man a period of time when he was not a thing even mentioned?
إنا خلقنا الإنسان من نطفة أمشاج نبتليه فجعلناه سميعا بصيرا.
Indeed, we created man from a sperm drop mixture, that we may try him, and we made him hearing and seeing.
إِنَّا هَدَيْنَاهُ السَّبِيلَ إِمَّا شَاكِرًا وَإِمَّا كَفُورًا.
Indeed, we guided him to the way, be he grateful or be he ungrateful.
إِنَّا أَعْتَدْنَا لِلْكَافِرِينَ سَلَاسِلَ وَأَغْلَالًا وَسَعِيرًا.
Indeed, we have prepared for the disbelievers chains and shackles and a blaze.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Since Allah has created men with a special goal in mind, examination and development, He has prepared the necessary faculties for these fulfillments in his being. This can be considered divine guidance. Therefore, he, Allah, has made men naturally eager to follow the way, and with the help of his natural inclinations, has shown him its direction. This can be considered natural guidance. On the whole, this verse indicates three points which are important for the destiny and life of man: duty, guidance, and free will, of all which are both interdependent and complementary to each other.
Oh God, thank you for giving us the strength to hold on. And now we're here together, calling you for freedom, freedom.
IRIB English Radio, and this program today is special, looks at the concept of freedom in Islam. Political freedom in Islam is the means of leading mankind to justice, goodness, and peace. It guarantees and protects the political rights of all. Man should therefore practice his personal freedom without encroaching on the rights of others and deviating from a correct moral conduct. In an atmosphere which respects the rights and freedoms of others, mankind can grow and prosper. Life is filled with knowledge and good deeds. Freed from lusts and the control of tyrants, man can find his way to true happiness.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, the topic is aspects of freedom in the Islamic system according to Imam Khomeini. It's indicated in the Al-Mizan exegesis of the Holy Quran that some people may imagine that it has been the Western tradition that has made people familiarized with the notion of freedom. They are absolutely wrong. It has been the Islamic religion that has indicated the notion of freedom and the notion and practices and aspects and various levels of freedom in over 1400 years ago. It's indicated also in the framework of Imam Khomeini. It's indicated that the Islamic religion has set all people, has set mankind free from those restrictions. And at the same time, the Islamic religion has been a pioneer of giving freedom, granting freedom to everybody, to all people. Please note carefully that even in the in the early Islamic period, in the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we find that many usually colored, many often colored slaves who were, in Arabia, mainly in Mecca, they joined the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they accepted the Islamic religion because of this sense of freedom available in the Islamic instructions. And this made the pagans of Mecca very much angry.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, Every Day for 15 Minutes.
Be like the sun, shining with light. Be like a rose, spreading its fragrance in every part.
Today's special.
Be like the earth, humble and wise. Be like the rain, pouring all your love to every
Let's look at social freedom. Another type of freedom is referred to as social freedom. This implies that we as individuals have the choice of types of rule, government, and policies we are governed by. Advising his son Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba, peace be upon him, Imam Ali states, "Safeguard yourself from everything that is mean, because you do not gain any replacement for what you lose from yourself when you perform something mean. And do not be a slave of anyone, because Allah has created you free. When Allah has created us free, why should one human being serve another? Is it because the person being served is the head of a tribe, a head of a state, a highly influential individual, or that he is supported by the affluent people, such that this in turn causes one to sacrifice one's freedom? The right of obedience belongs to solely to Allah and those whom have been granted rights from Allah, such as the prophets, parents, and the like. Even if someone is more pious, he does not have the right to claim our obedience for his own sake."
Somebody just tell me, where is my freedom?
We are talking about the concept of freedom in Nahjul Balagha. Determining one's destiny is an act of man's free will, different from physical compulsion. Divine commands are rationally designed and have a purpose. The universe itself has a design and a purpose. In this scheme of creation, man is free to act or not to act in accordance with the divine purpose. If we compare Imam Ali's approach to the problems of freedom, morality, and the existence of Allah, we may come to a more convincing philosophy. Imam Ali does not require any proof for the existence of Allah, but believes in him on the ground of revelation and his own inner experience. Recent theology in the West accept the inner yearning of men to have faith in a supreme being as the only criterion of belief in Allah. Starting from the same position, Imam Ali alayhi salam proves the purposiveness of creation, arguing that it is created by an intelligent, knowing, and just Allah with a design and a purpose, and all his commands are just and reasonable, for he, Allah, does not command men to do something that is beyond his capacity.
Indeed, when we examine the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we examine the universe with its various dimensions, we come to the realization that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has indeed honored the human being. وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ It is from this honor and dignity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to the human being that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us freedom. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honored the human being with freedom. There are many dimensions in our lives in which we see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the religion of Islam, has guaranteed our freedom. In the religion of Islam, the general rule is that the human being is free, except in certain circumstances. In those circumstances where we don't have freedom, that's the exception. It's not the rule. The general ruling is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us freedom. We can see the freedom that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us in the religion of Islam in a number of ways. For example, when you examine your own body, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you full control over your body. You possess your body. You are free to do whatever you want with your body. However, there are exceptions. You do have the freedom to do what you want with your body, but you may not harm yourself. You may not amputate one of your limbs, for example. You cannot cause yourself to become blind, to become deaf, to pose a great danger or risk to your own health. When you're harming yourself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not given you that freedom. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you a soul. You cannot take it willfully. You cannot commit suicide. This is not an area where you have freedom. Another example is the hijab. Yes, while Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you control over your body and the freedom to do what you want with your body, there is an exception. That's called the hijab. Because if you don't observe the hijab, you could be harming yourself and harming others in society.
Dear brothers and sisters, thank you very much. We were speaking about freedom in Islam. Inshallah, we continue this topic on the next episode of today's special. Till then, we leave you in Allah's blessings. Have a nice time.
They told me that I'm crazy. Who you're praying for? They told me there is nothing. Who you're looking for? Stop doing what you're doing, 'cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were locked, yes, I was mesmerized. But deep inside I know that there's a better world, 'cause I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and let us contemplate on a gem of an advice from the Holy Prophet's first infallible heir, the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. He who adopts greed as a habit devalues himself. He who discloses his hardship agrees to humiliation. And he who allows his tongue to overpower his soul debases the soul.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another program of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. Most of the world and most of the people that we may know, only some people that we may know, are only after wealth. The aim and the objective of life is wealth. Now, when I say no, probably people that you are aware of on TV, that, you know, this famous saying that, you know, get rich or die trying. It was a saying that has, you know, encapsulated the philosophy and the kind of motto of living for a lot of people, unfortunately. But in this tradition from the Imam alayhi salam, there is Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. He gives a different outlook of what wealth is and what is the best of wealth. And where this wealth can be found. It does not say that this wealth can be found on the highest mountains or in the depths of the ocean or in some deep cave. No. That in reality, this wealth is a state of heart. It is the state of a human being. And obviously, there are other things that come about with this type of wealth that the Imam alayhi salam is going to talk about. So the Imam alayhi salam is reported to have said that I search for wealth. So I went and I searched for it, or if I did have to search for it, I would have went looking, for example, in the valleys, in the, you know, in the plains, and wherever else the Imam would look for it. And I did not find it other than through contentment. That's a very beautiful saying.
that true wealth is being content with what you have. Not seeking more and always seeking more. Not becoming the wealthiest person on the face of the earth. Because you'll never be the most wealthiest. That'll always be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter how much you try. And there will always be those who are more wealthier than you. Now we have this thing of the most wealthiest person in the world. But truly, you know, is he the, or she the most wealthiest person in the world? What do we decide? All that will be gone. Because if it is yours, it will stay with you. But at the end of the day, it won't. And then the Imam continues and says, adhere to contentment and you will become rich. This is where the Imam is saying, you will become rich. What? You will become rich spiritually. You will become rich in a manner that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with you. In a manner that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is pleased with you. And there are also many other things that one can take from this tradition, but we will suffice by what we have mentioned. That true wealth and richness comes from contentment in what you already have. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us this contentment of the heart and this contentment in general, inshaAllah. Until next time, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi and we are joined by Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother Mahdi, and Assalamu alaikum to all the dear listeners who are listening to this program.
Thank you for accepting our invitation, brother.
Thank you.
Well, dear audience, as you may know, the program Let's Recite the Quran consists of several Quranic parts. First, we are going to talk about a Quran reciter. Then we are going to listen to a recitation by that reciter. And after it, Brother Muhammad will analyze that recitation. So stay tuned. Today we are going to listen to a recitation by Sheikh Kamil Yusuf al-Bahtimi. Sheikh Muhammad Zaki Yusuf, known as Sheikh Kamil Yusuf al-Bahtimi, was born in 1922 in a village called Bahtim in Qalyubiya Governorate in Egypt. This prominent Quran reciter gained a great reputation in the 1950s. Sheikh Kamil Yusuf al-Bahtimi and Sheikh Muhammad Siddiq al-Minshawi were both students of Sheikh Muhammad Abdul Halim Salama, and they both entered Egyptian radio at the same time in 1953, and the year they passed away was the same. We lost these two stars of the sky recitation in 1969. Sheikh Kamil Yusuf al-Bahtimi's recitations were influenced by Sheikh Muhammad Rifat's
as well as Sheikh Muhammad Salama's recitations. Now it's time to listen to Sheikh Kamil Yusuf al-Bahtimi reciting verses 33 and 34 of Surah Al-Ahzab. Let's enjoy it.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وقرن في
Dear audience of IRIB English Radio, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, and what you just listened to was recitation of Surah Al-Ahzab, verses 33 and 34, recited by Sheikh Kamil Yusuf al-Bahtimi. And now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Sure. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Sheikh Kamil Yusuf is using Maqam Nahawand, and in between it, he's also using Maqam Ajam. Mm-hmm. Because Maqam Nahawand and Ajam, you could easily move between these two Maqams, especially if you're using Maqam Nahawand. وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَ تَبَرُّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ الْأُولَى. And he's also reciting in the riwayah of Warsh عَنْ نَافِعَ جَاهِلِيَّةِ الْأُولَى.
It doesn't apply in Nabra.
No, it's not just in Nabra. It's actually the wawul med is it goes to the lam.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it has nothing to do with tasheel or Nabra. Jahiliyati lula. If you were to apply tasheel, you would say jahiliyati lula. So you would hold the lam a little bit. It doesn't have tashdeed, but you have to observe the timing of the lam. Jahiliyatil ula. See, it would be, but you don't do that. You don't hold the, you don't observe the timing of a lam sakina. You give the dhamma to the lam. The haraka goes back to the hamza. And we also have Matul Badal. Ula. Atina. This is another Matul Badal.
Would you talk about it?
Matul Badal means that the cause of the aliful med or any med, long vowel. Okay. It could be wawul med or yawul med, whatever. The cause of it is before the long vowel, before that letter. Instead of being after it, it's before it. And as a result, in warsh an-naf'a, you could lengthen into more than two vowel counts, to four or six vowel counts. And as I said, he used maqam nahawand and also maqam ajam. But when he reaches the part of the verse which says, innama yuridu Allahu liyudhhiba ankum ar-rijsa ahlil bayt, the previous part of the verse was about the wives of the Prophet. Allah is addressing the wives of the Prophet and saying, stay in your houses and do not display yourselves like the times of ignorance, and establish prayer, give charity, obey Allah and His Messenger, and other things that Allah says.
Pieces of advice.
Yeah, pieces of advice to the wives of the Prophet. Mm-hmm. But when you reach the part of the verse which says innama yuridu Allahu liyudhhiba ankum ar-rijsa ahlil bayt, the pronoun is no longer the feminine form, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's masculine. In Arabic, whenever you have a plural masculine pronoun, it means that it could address both men and women. Okay, so we know that this is not addressing the wives of the Prophet. It's addressing the Ahlul Bayt of the Prophet, who were five at that time. Prophet Muhammad, Imam Ali alayhi salam, Lady Fatima Zahra, Imam Hassan, and Imam Hussein. This part of the verse has been revealed in the honor of these five individuals. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm talking some more about Tajweed.
Yes, but before that, it's interesting that Sheikh Kamal Yusuf al-Bahti, when he reaches this part of the verse, he reads it only in Maqam Ajam.
Mm-hmm.
So the previous part was in Nahawand. When he reaches this part, he changes to Ajam. Mm-hmm. Because this is completely different. It's a different issue. It's no longer addressing the wives of the Prophet. It's addressing the Ahlul Bayt of the Prophet. And
this
then
way he shows difference. Actually.
The difference is shown. And then the next verse, again, he goes to Nahawand. Because, again, mm-hmm. it's addressing the wives of the Prophet. So he uses Ajam only for that part of the verse. وَإِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمْ رِجْسَ أَهْلِ الْبَيْتِ.
This is the best way actually to convey the meaning.
Yes, this is important. This is how we could use the maqamat to convey the meaning and separate certain parts of verses from the other parts of the verse. Okay. Yes, so we have the rules of warsh an-nafi. For example, we have tatahira. Okay. We have
Al-Salah.
Ra is pronounced with tarqiq. Because remember, if you remember, we said that in Warsh, we have to look at the previous letter at all times.
Yeah,
for
not the harika of the Ra itself.
Not the harika. And then he says, Al-Salah, taghlil of lam.
Mm-hmm.
Because the lam is preceded by a sad. In Warsh an-Nafi', whenever lam is preceded by sad, wa, ta, you have to apply tawleel.
Not all letters of istilah.
Not all the letters of istilah. These three letters. Wa anna Allah laysa bi wallah min lil abid, for example. Wa anna Allah laysa bi wallah min lil abid. As-salah talaqa. Or طلقه. We have different words which have either ta, sad, or
wa.
No, sad, ta, and wa. Okay?
Yes.
The other rules of tajweed are similar to hafs an asim. For example, we have wadhkurna. The ra is pronounced with tafkhim. Buyutikunna, again the noon has tashdeed, you have to apply gunna.
Mm-hmm.
آيَاتِ اللَّهِ. We have tarqiq of the lam with the majestic name of Allah.
Because it is preceded by a letter with a kasra.
Yes, that's right. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ لَطِيفًا خَبِيرًا. We have إلحار of
نون ساكنة.
Of course, خَبِيرًا. Again, here the ra is pronounced with tarqiq.
Thank you, Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. That was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Please click on the tab Call of Islam, and there you can listen to this program as well as other programs of this radio. Until next time, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye. ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق هو القرآن.
The Ocean of Dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
Allahumma inni ataqarrabu ilayka bidhikrik wa astashfi'u bika ila nafsik wa as'aluka bijudika an tudniyani min qurbik wa an tuzi'ani shukrak wa an tulhimani dhikrak Allahumma أسألك سؤال خاضع متذلل خاشع أن تسامحني وترحمني وتجعلني بقسمك راضيا قانعا.
Brothers and sisters, as you have been previously with us, we were talking about this part of the Kumail supplication, where Imam Ali alayhi salam is asking four requests from the Almighty Allah. Allahumma inni as'aluka su'al khadi'in mutadhallilin khashi'. O Allah, I verily ask you with the asking of a submissive, abased and lowly man, and tusamihani wa tarhamani, to show me forbearance and to have mercy on me, wa taj'alani bi qismika radiyan qani'a, and to make me satisfied and content with your apportionment, وَفِي جَمِيعِ الْأَحْوَالِ مُتَوَاذِعَ, and to make me humble in every state. In the previous programs regarding the third request, which was satisfaction, we concluded that all the creatures are placed in the right positions and they are all set towards their goals, and they are all provided with the sustenance in accordance with their lifestyles and activities, and these are what we call halal or lawful sustenance. Like many of the careers nowadays, like ranching, like farming, business, industries, and other beneficial professions. And that is why the Holy Quran and traditions have encouraged people to gain sustenance through these halal and lawful and legal works. And not just that, but it has also been accounted as one of the greatest worships. Now, that being said, there are some other traditions that teach us many different tricks on how to increase the sustenance. In the previous program, we talked about keeping on purity and cleanness. We talked about helping religious brothers and being trustee of the people. Also praying for religious brothers in their absence. Also serving our families. And all of these things would increase our sustenance. Attempt in getting lawful sustenance is considered an important Islamic worship. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam states, من أكل من كد يده كان يوم القيامة في عداد الأنبياء. One who gains sustenance through his own endeavor is placed among the prophets, ويأخذ ثواب الأنبياء, and he receives their reward on the day of resurrection. نظر الله إليه بالرحمة. Allah would have mercy on him, ثم لا يعذبه أبدا, and Allah does not punish him merely because of his try and his endeavor in the right and lawful way.
Oh Allah, I seek to draw myself nearer to you through your invocation, and I pray to you to intercede on my behalf, and I beg you by your benevolence to draw me nearer to you and grant thankfulness towards you and inspire me to remember and to invoke you. Oh Allah, I ask you begging submissively, humbly and awe-strickenly, to treat me with clemency and mercy, and to make me pleased and content with what you have granted me, and cause me to be modest and unassuming in all circumstances. Oh Allah, I beg as one whose neediness is extreme, and who supplicates his knees to you, and whose desire for that which is with you has become great. Oh Allah, great is your kingdom, and exalted is your greatness. Your plan is secret, your authority is manifest, your might is victorious and subduing, and your power is prevalent throughout, and it is not possible to escape from your dominion. Oh Allah, apart from you, I do not find anyone able to pardon my sins, nor to conceal my shameful acts, nor do I have anyone except you to change my evil deeds into virtues.
Imam Ridha alayhi salam has stated, إِنَّ الَّذِي يَطْلُبُ مِنْ فَضْلٍ يَكُفُّ بِهِ عِيَالَهُ أَعْظَمْ أَجْرًا مِنَ الْمُجَاهِدِ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Surely the one who seeks Allah's sustenance through his lawful effort in order to maintain his family from poorness and need would have more reward than a campaigner in Almighty Allah's way. The one who fights in the Almighty Allah has ignored his own life, and he is doing his best, and he might lose his life, but Imam Ridha alayhi salam says, the one who is trying to maintain his family from poorness has more reward than such a person who is fighting in the Almighty Allah's way and path. This shows the importance of trying, the importance of endeavor, and reaching sustenance through lawful activities and careers. Now, let us end our discussion with a tradition from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He says, Al-ibadatu 'asharatu ajza'. Worship has 10 sections. Tis'atu ajza'in fi talab al-halal. 9 sections of the worship are in seeking lawful sustenance. This interesting tradition from the Holy Prophet sallallahu is telling us that worshipping Almighty Allah is not separate from seeking lawful sustenance. It is exactly vice versa. Most of the seeking lawful sustenance, or better say, all of them, are counted as worshipping of the Almighty Allah. And what can be better than this? Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this program. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special, and I'm so glad you're mine.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم سلام عليكم ورحمة الله Razia Najafi is here with the program of Muslim Lady from IRIB English Radio. And I'm so glad to inform my listeners that I'm blessed to have my husband,
Farman Ali Masumi.
Farman Ali Masumi.
Thank you so much for inviting us. Actually, I'm benefiting from this beautiful discussion.
Alhamdulillah, because whenever, whoever sits with Quran and Ahlul Bayt, the listeners, even the producer, that is, person know, is full of, you know, blessings and take all the benefits.
As if he's doing ibadah,
exactly,
you know.
Exactly.
Each word, his breath is counted as ibadah.
No doubt about it.
Allah.
So, Mr. Masumi, we have talked about some very useful, easy, doable tips to protect ourselves from this very scary tricks of shayateen and iblis, because we have only one life, you know, in this planet, and one single life, and very limited breaths and minutes and seconds and hours and years we have. We don't know any time Allah can just stop our file of our, you know, the book of our life. For example, if I'm a young lady, and I'm having all this access to social media freely, whenever, however, you know, me and my screen, and no one is there to guide me. You know, usually, unfortunately, in our houses, sometimes parents and teachers, they don't, you know, give us some tips and some practical, very easy baby steps, you know, solution and remedies to save ourselves, guard ourselves from this, it's a killer of our time,
this,
you know,
killing, obstacle.
Yeah, and no one is caring about it. You know, I'm so shocked that we are so much careful about our children that, you know, which university they go, what kind of dresses they are wearing, but we easily provide them screen and Wi-Fi easily. So and sometimes our children, they are, and our youngsters, because I'm saying child most of the time, because, you know, teenagers, because they are more victim of these kind of wasting the time, because they are sometimes in weekends 24/7, they are just on social media. And we as adults too, all Muslim ladies definitely. So if I'm addicted to this social media and misusing and wasting my time, so what kind of tips you are giving to me? So number one, you have given me that I have to feel the presence of Allah. Exactly.
As you said, you know, this social media is a big challenge. You know, we spend so many hours and minutes and days and years using this, you know, without any aim and without any goal. So by providing this internet and social media and gadgets and tablets and phones to our children and our young children, we are inviting shayateen, you know. Somehow we are giving them invitation that come and take our children from us. So like for our, you know, great ulamas, how it was difficult for a shaitan to come and, you know, to make them commit a single sin. You know, how difficult it was for shaitan, or it is for shaitan. But unfortunately, when it comes to our own children and ourselves in our social media, we are giving invitations to
the
Satan that please
really
come
sad.
And, you know, do whatever you want to do with our children. This is number one. So we have to educate our youngsters and our children about the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know. We have to instill the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first of all. Then they can